Good morning.
Good morning.
Isn't it good to see our pastor coming back to preach and help? And I know Jim mentioned that earlier, and that awesome. Missed it. No, we all did. Praise God. No, Jim mentioned that earlier, so we should be about business this morning. Okay, very good. Going to the book of Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 2, 1 through 6. And this is the desert years, okay? We turned and journeyed into the wilderness, a way of the Red Sea. Well, it spoke to me. And we skirted, yeah, who knows, Mount Seir for many days. I wouldn't quite a skip. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough and turned and command the people, saying, you are about to pass throughout the territory of brethren, the descendants of Esau, and who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may. This is the last one. Look at this one when you take it down. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Praise God. Everybody probably had enjoyed prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we are blessed this morning. Be your presence, Father. Get to your name there in the midst, here, now, and it's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for taking time with each and every one of us. Like I know you did. You've created us in your image. We're more than conquerors. Chosen. We're important to you. And you know, the thing is that we really have to understand in all our situations going forward that no matter what it is, you're very concerned with every little thing that may be a mountaintop to get through, get around, over, that your concern, and touch those people this morning are really struggling and pregnant. And this is mine too this morning. Your Paradise Christian Fellowship. So the thing is, it's touching you all, Father God. This is as a body. As God speaks to unity that we're together and we're worshiping King and Kings, Lord. And no matter what we're going through, we need to seek you out first and all. Like you're going forward and not look. We pray the armor of God around each of us as we step out, even today. It says, be about the Father's business. No matter what happens today, God's got it in the end. He's with you. He will not forsake you. As we've heard many times, Lord, you know, the teacher you are and how loving Father you are, you remind us every once in a while. We need to be in that area, God, in our minds, in our spirit, knowing that you're here with us and that we can step forward and just be blessed knowing that as we go forward, share the word, those highways and byways, our rope, for schooling, for feet of those people that are hurting. Because we all know what's going on out there. And it's a tough road. But the thing is, too, it's narrow. And the Lord says, keep your eyes on me. That's where it starts with him. It ends with him each and every day. We keep on going forward. We share something. We're in battles. So, you know, we're more conscious and chosen. Once again, we need you. The thing is, we can do all things because that strengthens us. He is greater than he is in the world. If God is for us, he can be against us. So we have to remember those as we apply the work of the Lord out there, beyond these walls. We're in the mission field. So help us with those things we're called to do. And we ask it in your precious name. His name all step past the Mount World, knowing his mind, his heart, his tongue. The word goes through him like rivers, a living word. It's going to flow through. We're going to receive what we need to receive today, willingly. And then to go for and be of the Father's business ourselves, do what we're all called to do. Because we can do that. And through Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Now, if you turn with me to Psalm 51, in your bullets there's one of these sheets. Something I've never, but I did it this week, and I'm going to try and do it often, is a list of the verses going to go through today, with the scriptures in them to help you in taking notes. But I do want to just talk about verse 1. I'm just going to highlight verse. Mercy upon me, O God. This is Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And then drop down, please, to verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Hold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. In traveling this country, Kath and I were receiving a consistent message from church to church to church. Given in different flavors, different scriptures, but the basic message was this. God is calling his people. He's not calling this world. He's speaking to his people. He's calling people to a new, in-depth understanding of repentance. In that, all I say is that we all sin and fall short of glory. Amen?
Amen.
Me included. If you don't believe it, ask Kathy. She'll tell you. I am a sinner. I'm saved by grace. I'm just one beggar showing another beggar where I found free bread. I found free bread in the bread of life, Jesus Christ. And in his word right here. And in his word and amen. But the message we're getting is that God is calling his people to a new level, a new depth of repentance. You need to understand repentance is not something to be ashamed about. It's not something afraid of. It is something that frees you. And there are too many in the body of Christ walking around bedraggled. They're cast down. Oh, yeah. David said, why is my soul cast down? Open God. And our hope God is placed in God in the fact that he has given a beautiful avenue that brings us right into his very presence. And that's called repentance. You can't have salvation without repentance.
Nope,
you know, you can ask God to be your Savior, but he comes as Lord. Say that. He comes as Lord.
Lord.
He's my Lord.
He's my Lord.
If you believe that, then let your love show it. And the greatest way to show it is by repentance, by allowing that gift of repentance that God gives us that opens the door to a profound joy that the body of Christ needs to have. The second part of the message that we were hearing, God's calling his people to a new level of repentance, and in that repentance is the least of a profound joy in the body of Christ. It's going to be infectious to others. But you will not have that joy without repentance. They're keyed to their. So when God calls me to a place of repentance, I'm really willing to confess my sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin, cleanse me from all unrighteousness, hallelujah. There is a release that happens, that's a burden that is taken off of me. There is a pressure that is now released in my life to be able to experience the joy of the Lord, because it's just the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what Nehemiah said when he was facing the devastation of Jerusalem and the walls were torn down and the whole place was a mess. And he stood there in the middle of the night and proclaimed, joy of the Lord is my strength.
Right.
He was questioning, how am I going to do this? How am I going to take care of all this rubble? Well, rubble happened because of the sin of Jerusalem, the sin of Israel, the sin of Judah. And there was a repentance that happened. They were released to go and restore. And God is calling his people to a place of repentance.
Right.
So that there can be a restoration that will happen in your life. Hallelujah for that.
Right.
Well, pray that he gives you that gift. It's a wonderful, beautiful gift. But that gift must come. You know, salvation only comes by receiving the gift.
Right.
You understand that?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that Jesus Christ paid for your sins, right?
Yeah.
And you know, in John, 1 John, the Apostle John said, if you receive him, you receive that life. Reject him, you reject that life. So if you are hell bound, you're only hell bound because you are choosing that.
Right.
Well, I need to get that through. Right. We need to understand that.
Right.
All right? I choose to go to hell. God desires not to perish, but all to come to what? Repent. There's that word again. We don't like that word. We don't like that word because that means that I have to address things about me that I've been ignoring or I've been putting aside or I've have been kidding myself. You know, we can kid ourselves pretty well.
We can.
You know, we really can kid ourselves pretty well. I'm good.
Yeah,
I got this. You know, I get scared when I hear somebody tell me, I've just got so much faith, the devil can't even touch me. I don't know why. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm backing up from that guy. Oh, man, I'll tell you, he's already got you right to you, right by, because that is nothing but a pride-filled statement. Pride-filled statement. Pride cometh before destruction. A spirit before the fall. Hallelujah. What are you going to say this stuff today? What can I say? David said, mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. And the word that he used for mercy, there's several words in the Hebrew and in the Greek that is translated mercy. This one particular in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God. That Hebrew word is chanan, and it means to bend or stoop in kindness to an inferior. This is a specific word that David used to God. God, have mercy upon me. God, please bow down and be gracious to me, to someone who's inferior to you.
Right.
What he's saying by saying, God, I am inferior to you, he said, submit to you because I understand I cannot do this myself. I need your mercy. I need your divine mercy.
Yes.
I don't want you just bad for me. I don't want you just to have compassion on me. I want you to release your mercy that comes from heaven to this inferior man. I'm just made in your image. I need you in your glory. That's what he was saying when he said, have mercy on me, O God. And we're going to, this week, we're going to go through, next week, be the week after, we're going to go through Psalm 51. And the first half of it, which I was going to do today, and I'm kind of some of it anyways, is the whole issue of sin. The body of Christ, there's so many passages we don't want to talk about sin because it upsets people. They don't want to hear it. But we're also called to give the full gospel. And the full gospel is very, very clear that we all sin, all fall short of God's glory. We all are called to a place of repentance. And if we're not willing to come to a place of repentance, then how can we dare call ourselves a Christian? Because God calls us all to that. Desires none to perish, but all to come to repentance. If there's no repentance in your life, you're perishing.
That's right.
You're doomed. But the beauty of that is that God made a way where there is no way.
Right.
He hung on the cross, and he finished what he said, it is now complete, paid the price for you. I hand myself to you. Will you take me?
Yes.
Will you receive me? Or will you keep me pushed off to the side? And because as I happen to be in your sight, you consider yourself one of my people. But I remind you of my word. The ones who said, came to me and said, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name and do that in your name? And I said, get behind me because I never knew you. Never had an intimate relationship with you. You never came in full repentance. You never came to me because of the work of the cross that you accomplished on Calvary. Just wanted a religious symbol in your life. I literally had somebody tell me that they were, because they had a picture of Jesus in their bedroom.
Oh, God.
I kid you not. I have a picture of Jesus in my bedroom. And I just, this one of the few times in my life I was speechless. I didn't really know what to say. Because I have passion on that person because they are so deceived by the enemy. Deceive. Let me tell you something. God's on the move.
Yes.
Kathy and I throughout this country, we indoctrinate ourselves with bias. The church.
Yes, it does.
And you can say, oh, no, we don't. Oh, yeah, you do. Yes,
we
I do.
We do.
I'll give you an example. I went to California. When I speak of California, the thing that comes up in your mind, hey, hear that? Oh, my goodness gracious. Land of fruits and nuts. Let me tell you, the fruit of the Spirit is hard at work in California. Oh, my goodness gracious. I even texted my brother when we were in Arizona. We had just left the Grand Canyon. We're headed to California. And my brother said, oh, don't stay there for very long. We don't want California to rub off on you. You know, we indoctrinate ourselves. But I'm telling you, in California, we saw God moving. We saw God showing himself strong in churches there. We saw believers that on fire. Fire for Jesus.
Amen.
But listen to me, whenever you have the church rising up, you're going to have the enemy rising too. And the church is rising up in this area, amen?
Amen.
You know, over 16 people 16. Received Jesus Christ as Lord yesterday in Winchester at the gazebo.
Praise God.
You are here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is on the move.
Yes, he is.
To himself, but at the same time, the enemy is rising up in this area. There's I'm out of, oh, I know where, there's a psychic dinner.
Oh my goodness.
In Keene, on September 22nd. A psychic dinner. I don't know what they eat. But I do know this. It is a play of the enemy to continue to deceive people of our communities.
Yes.
To cause them to see the power of the enemy. They don't say power of the enemy. They just say psychic power. And I'm telling you something. There's power in it. But it is a false, deceitful power that is bent on dragging not just the people of this world, but God's people,
yeah,
away from God.
Right.
And you say, oh, well, it really wouldn't happen in the church. Oh, it does.
Sure.
All you have to do is get in the scriptures. What happened in Jerusalem, in Israel? I mean, they you're about the different kings. And I've been reading it in Chronicles. And, you know, well, this king was you know, he was great, and he led Israel in ways of righteousness. Israel went, and then this king was, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and this one did evil, but this one didn't do evil in the sight of the Lord. And the society would go this way and go that way and go this way and go that way. And God would bring them to repentance, that they would swing back to Him. So don't say it can't happen to church. It does. It does happen in the church. So I, as your pastor, am telling you, beware. Now that sinner, there's two sides of me about that. The first side is to say, stay away from that.
Yes.
The second side of me says, I want to list about 10 to 15 people with me to that dinner.
Amen. Pastor Matthew.
Come with me to that dinner. And stand for the ways of righteousness in the very seat of the enemy.
Some real food to eat, eh?
Yes, thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Would be, yes. Rick?
You could pile it on there if they don't turn.
And that is so true. That's true.
Yeah.
Listen. Next guy I'm going to, we're going to really dive into the scriptures on Psalm 51. We're gonna finish it out for probably the next 2 weeks. What is sin? Sin. How does it disrupt our lives? And what can we do about it? The title of the series is In Pursuit of Overflowing Joy. You know? I don't want to just preach sin because it's necessary in the body of Christ. And understand that it's very relevant, and it is necessary because there's a release that happens in the body of Christ when we walk purity and walk in holiness.
It's not being really holy and being really righteous and being very quiet and still.
It's about having overwhelming joy that just floods through you.
Yep.
That's why David said, restore to the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach wrestlers your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
You know what David was saying there? He's saying, when I get that off of me, when I get that weight off of my shoulders, and when I can know that I am not, I don't have to stand in being dirty, but I'm cleansed by your blood. I get so excited about you, Lord. I get so joyful about you. I just gotta tell.
I just gotta tell
people. I'm going to close today with this message, with this thought. Man, yesterday there were several of us. They were going. We're just talking to people, sharing Christ with them, and people pray with us for the Lord. Why? Why do we do that? Not so we have notches in our guns, but so that people's lives will change for the glory of hallelujah. But there's so many people.
I can't do that.
Yes, you can.
That's right. Thank you for saying that, Dawn. Yes, you
can.
The question is not cannot, will not. So I'm going to give you this challenge. October 11th, we're doing it again. And we have a bluegrass band that's coming to that. They're also going to come here on that following Sunday. They're going to lead us in bluegrass worship. Worship team has the day off. And they're going to preach bluegrass. And so I'm going to get that morning. You know, and they're going to come here and they're just going to bless. But Friday, they're going to be down at the gazebo park. And I challenge you, if you're afraid, you're scared to share your gospel, to share the gospel with somebody you don't know. If you're walking up to a total stranger and introduce yourself and start talking about Jesus, then what I want to ask you to do is that you come, you hook up with me, you hook up with Kathy, you hook up with these two, you hook up with whoever it is that does this and loves to do this, and you go with us. You lock arms with me and you come. I'll go ahead and I'll share the gospel. I just want to see how it's done. I want you to be a part of it. And who knows, maybe the next person we go, you will take over. And I'll just stand there with you. I don't know, but I dare you. A double dog dare to come. And that you will join with those of us that love to evangelize, love to pray with people. And you take part in it. You see, Jesus said to all of us, go and make disciples of all nations. Teaching, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So this is what we're experiencing in 2 months travel. And hand and heart about bringing this series. But God made it clear that I'm to be obedient to him and bring it. There will be some things that will be said that some people may know, may not want. I just want you to know there are the same things I don't want to hear either. I really don't want to. I'm telling you, there are times I just don't want to hear it. I don't deal with it. Okay, I don't want to deal with me as bad as Kathy has to. But there comes a place in every believer's life where we must say, "Your will be done, not mine." Father, we thank you, praise you for your word, and we ask Lord to begin this series that you will give us open hearts. That will give us a desire to be challenged and walk with you. That we'll have courage to face issues that we have refused to face, maybe even for many years. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. Church, let's stand. And this... hang on, stick it in your Bible for now. I'll print more out. In the tradition of this pulpit on Sunday mornings, I pray this blessing upon all of you, you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. But may that peace come to you in revelation of your heart as opposed to his. That peace will come as you will purpose not look upon somebody else about what they need to deal with, but you will look upon yourself with what you need to deal with. And then you will have the courage to deal with it.
Yes.
By the power of the Holy Spirit. He's calling you to a new level of repentance.
Yes,
and don't be afraid of it. God is not be afraid of this. It bless you because it will release you to new heights of joy. A joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks. If anybody needs prayer, please avail yourselves of...